two, three. Good morning. As I told you last week, just one moment. Something's not working here. Good morning. As I told you last week, I'm not going to be here next week, but I tell you, I have tremendous replacement and substitute. Rabbi Yosef Wilicki is going to give the shiur, and it's going to be on the topic is going to be, why are there 7 days of Pesach? I would suggest to you, if you have never heard him before, you certainly should come and hear. He's the one who gives the Parashat HaShavua shiur on Wednesdays, and he's going to take my place because Yeretz Hashem Moitzoi Shabbos, after a Shabbos bar mitzvah of my daughter Chavi, is one of her children, we're leaving to Chutz Lartz for a family wedding. So it's not easy, a wedding a week and 2-3 days before Pesach. I mean, we're going to get back a few days before Pesach, but listen, a simcha is a simcha, and we'll take that whenever it comes. It was okay. All right. What? Thank you. I was waiting for you all to say that. Just for a moment. Something's wrong with my... This is mine. Just for a moment. It's all a mess.
You can tell them, though, that to help them with their Rabbi Gold withdrawal, that tomorrow at 12:30 we have a Rabbi Gold double feature of two Haggadahs.
Uh-huh. Yes. Mark reminds me that if in case you have withdrawal symptoms, you need Rabbi Gold on the Haggadah. You can watch the video tomorrow. There's a video at lunchtime. It's going to be a double feature. Two Gold videos on the Haggadah. When we were little kids, so we went for three movies for a nickel. Three movies for a nickel. That's how our parents got rid of us for a whole afternoon. Anyway, so I told you last week, because I'm going to be away this Shabbos from Shul, and I'm going to be away next Shabbos at Sheva Brachas in Mansi, I'm not going to have a Shabbos for Shabbos HaGadol Rosh Hashanah. So I'm doing the unusual and the exceptional. I'm saying my Shabbos HaGadol Rosh Hashanah before anybody else in the world. I'm saying it tonight, Tuesday night, at 8 o'clock in English in my Shul in Harnof, and tomorrow night at Wednesday night at 8 o'clock I'm going to say it be Yivrit. And that's it. I will have said the Shabbos HaGadol Rosh Hashanah. Now, for all I know, you know, I may luck out and find some poor shul in Mansi that doesn't have anybody to say a Shabbos HaGadol Rosh Hashanah. So I'll be walking around with one. Have drasha, will travel. So I said that you people are off Broadway, because we're going to try out the drasha here. And therefore, by the time I have to say it tonight, it will be, you're not going to lose anything. Don't worry, you're not going to lose anything. And I have to say that I made sure that the signs went up in Harnof before Shabbos. It does not say Harav Hagoyin Hagadol HaAmiti HaAdir Maran. I always have my sign say simply Rav Shalom Gold, and I change the color of the paper every year, because I tell you, before Pesach, I come out into the streets and I see black and white signs, and I forget that Shabbos HaGadol is coming, and I think, God forbid, all the rabbis died. I see their names over there until I get closer and I see it says Shlita, and it announces the Shabbos HaGadol. So I never had signs on white paper. Every year was a different color paper. So that nobody's going to make the mistake of thinking, this is the only way I like to have my name on the walls of Yerushalayim. This is the only way I like it. I give you one guess. What color did I use this year?
Orange.
Katon. All over Harnof. All over Harnof. All right. I want to learn a Gemara with you. The Gemara is puzzling, it's mysterious, It's mystifying. But we have to know what the meaning of the Gemara is. Where it's underlined, you have there, this is Samach Vav Amid Aleph in Pesachim. We're learning an Amid Gemara in Pesachim. Tonu Rabbanan. Our rabbis learned. Halacha zo nit alma mi b'nei b'teda. This halacha was hidden. It was concealed. It was forgotten from the sons of b'teda, b'nei b'teda. What halacha are they talking about? The Mishnah had just said that you bring Korban Pesach if Erev Pesach occurs on Shabbos. What are Jews supposed to do on Erev Pesach? They bring the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach involves Shchita and Zrikat Adam and all sorts of malachas. And the Mishnah says that you bring the Korban Pesach even when Pesach occurs, Erev Pesach occurs on Shabbos. But that's quite a halacha, that Korban Pesach is Docha Shabbos. Halacha zu, this halacha, was forgotten by the sons of Beseda, and Pamach, at one time it happened, that Chal Arba Asa Liyot Shabbat, the 14th day of Nisan, occurred on Shabbos. Shachul, they forgot v'lo yodu, they didn't know in Pesach dochet haShabbos in lab where the Korban Pesach sets aside Shabbos. So now we're talking about an extremely important halacha that all of Klal Yisrael needs to know. Obviously, this is taking place bizman shebet hamigdash hayah kayam. This is talking at the time of the Bet Hamigdash. All of Klal Yisrael have to know what to do. And they forgot. They didn't know where the Pesach was Dochas HaShabbos. Amru, who are the ones who said, B'nai B'teda. We're going to find out who these B'nai B'teda were. They were a family, an important family in Yerushalayim, and they appear a number of times in Talmud, a good number of times, and they also appear over a period of at least 100 years. We're going to see 100 years later, we're going to see Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after the destruction of the Bet HaMikdash is going to consult with Bnei B'teda. Where are we right now? We're approximately somewhere after the year 37 before the Common Era. It's going to be 37, 36, 35, 34. Which places it 100 years before Churban Bet HaMikdash, 100 years before Churban HaBayit, and they forgot whether Korban Pesach is Docheh Shabbos. Amru, so they said, Klum Yesh Adam, is there any man sheyodeh who knows this halacha in Pesach Docheh HaShabbos, where the Pesach, Korban Pesach sets aside Shabbos? And it's awesome, it's mystifying that they don't know a halacha of this sort. It's unbelievable. All of clients, I mean, this is not a question in whether you can use plastic plates Shabbos in the morning, Erev Pesach, Shechaldi is B'Shabbos. We're talking about Korban Pesach. Now you have to know there are two positive commandments in the Torah. In all of Torah, there are two positive commandments that if one does not fulfill them, there is a punishment of karet, and that is Mila and Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is serious. Those two mitzvot, I say, those two positive commandments are the most serious of all. And they don't know whether it's Docheh Shabbos or they yes. Is there anybody here who knows whether Pesach is Docheh Shabbos? Im lav. Amru lehem, somebody said to them, from the audience, wherever this took place, said to them, Odom Echad Yesh, there's one man, Sha'olam Yibavel, who came up from Bavel, V'Hillel HaBavli Shemo, his name is Hillel HaBavli. Sheshime Shnei Gedolei Hador, he served two of the great of the generation, Shmaya and Avtayon. V'Yodea, he knows, in Pesach Docheh HaShabbat. He knows where the Korban Pesach will set aside the Shabbos, in Lav or not. Sholchu, so they sent, V'Korulo, and they called this fellow Hillel to come to wherever this gathering was taking place. It may very well, most probably have been on Har HaBayit, or even in the Azorah, in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. Amr lo, so they said to him, when Hillel presented himself there, Amr lo, they said to him, Klum, Ata Yotea, do you know in a Pesach Drochat HaShabbat, if Pesach sets aside Shabbos in Lav or not? Amr lehem, so he said to them, is there only one Pesach during the course of the year? There are more than 200 Pesachim during the year. What does he mean to say? That on every Shabbos, they would bring the Korban Tumid in the morning and the Korban Tumid in the afternoon. There would be Korbanos of Musaf. A lot of Korbanos were brought on Shabbos. So he said, do we have only one Pesach during the year? Shetolchet HaShabbat, that sets aside Shabbat. V'alo harbe yoteni matayim tzachim yesh lonu b'shono shetolchim et HaShabbos. There are more than 200 Korbanos Pesach in a year that set aside the Shabbos. Amru lo, so they said to me, Nayin lecha. All right, it's a nice svara, but we need text. We need to see where does Torah say that this is so. Amar lehem, so he said to them, Nemar moado bePesach. It says moado in its time. By the Korban Pesach that you shall bring the Korban Pesach b'moado, and with regard to the Korban Tamid that's brought every day. It also says the Moado, you should bring it in its time. Just like the daily sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash sets aside Shabbos, so too Korban Pesach sets aside Shabbos. Nana, it says, now the Gemara, we're reading the Gemara, Moado, it says Moado the Pesach, and it says Moado the Tumid. Ma Moado ha'amur the Tumid, just like Moado that it says by the Korban Tumid, Dochet HaShabbat sets aside Shabbos. At Moado ha'amur Pesach, Dochet HaShabbos, Moado that it says by Pesach, also sets aside Shabbos. V'yod kal v'chomehu. Whoa! And more than that, it says, it's a kal v'chomer. Umat Tumid shein onush kodesh. Tumid, where there is no punishment, of course, if it's not brought. Dochet HaShabbat sets aside Shabbos. Pesach she'onesh koras. Pesach, where there is a punishment, of course, and it didn't should dochet HaShabbat. Of course it should be dochet Shabbat. Now, an unusual, exceptional, extraordinary thing takes place. Miyad, immediately. Hoshivuhu Barosh. They put him at the head of the Jewish people. Uminuhu nasi aleihem. And they appointed him as president of the Sanhedrin. V'hoya yoshe v'dodesh kol hayom. All day he taught Hilchus Pesach. Do you understand? It would seem from the Gemara that who were the leaders of the Jewish people at the time? They were B'nai B'teda. And B'nai B'teda relinquished their kisei, and they gave it over to Hillel, one of the exceptional and extraordinary historic events that's recorded in Shas Bamli Yerushalmi. I'll show you later, there's a Gemara where Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi 150 years later says there were three great people who are humble and modest. One of them, the Gemara there, says a story about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's father, Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says he was great in his humility. Yonatan, the son of Shaul, who pledges allegiance to David and in a sense willingly hands over the kingdom to David. And then he says, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says, and B'nai B'teira, what they did, handing over the position of greatness by the Jewish people to Hillel, he doesn't know if he could do it. But it's not that simple. It's very quite complex what's taking place in this Gemara. Anyway, now Hillel continues teaching the laws of Pesach. And he taunted the audience with words. Amar lahem, he said to them, "Mi goram lachem? Who caused she'elemi bavel that I should come on aliyah from bavel ve'ehyena si aleichem and I shall be president of the Sanhedrin over you? Absolut she'haytar bachem. your laziness. You didn't truly serve two great people by the name of Shemaiah and Avtalion. Omru lo. Now, this sounded, of course, a little bit out of character for Hillel. Hillel was also known as being extremely humble and modest. This didn't sound so modest. Omru lo, so they said to him, Rebbe, Shachach v'lo hevi sakin mi'erev Shabbos mahu. What happens if a person forgot to bring the knife for the shechita on Erev Shabbos, and they would have to bring it through a reshut harabim, and a lot of carry. Does the sakin of shechita, is that also doche Shabbat? Does that also set aside Shabbos? Mahu, what's the halacha? You just got to listen to the next two lines of the Gemara. Amar lehen, he said to them, Halacha zu, this halacha shamati, I once heard, v'shachachti. Hillel has forgotten the halacha. You know, is it like a little bit of an onishel? Hello, wait a minute. Shachachti. Hello, you know who will pass in this shayla? Hamach lehem li Yisrael. Let Yisrael be. If they are not prophets, they're the sons of prophets. Lemachar, you know what? We're going to watch what happens tomorrow. What will Jews do? And you know what happened the following day? Misha pischotle tochvo b'tzamro, a person whose korban pesach was a sheep, they had the knife stuck into the wool. Misha pischo gedi, a goat doesn't have wool, but it has horns. It was attached to the horns. Rav Meisa, when he saw Klal Yisrael doing that, nisgar halacha, he remembered the halacha, and he said, Kak mikublani mipi Shemaiah v'Avtalion. This is what I received from Shemaiah v'Avtalion. End of Gemara. Unbelievable Gemara. Let's begin with a number of questions. I mean, you know, it seems to me, from our Gemara here, it seems that it's clear that all of this is taking place the day before Erev Pesach. Because Hillel tells them about the knife, tomorrow we'll see what the people do. This same Gemara appears in Talmud Yerushalmi and it appears in the Tosefta. And there it doesn't say Lamachar, tomorrow. It seems that it's all taking place on that Erev Pesach Shechal Liyaz B'Shabbos. Can you imagine what's going on? Nobody prepared for that Erev Pesach Shechal Liyaz B'Shabbos. There weren't shiurim. There weren't all sorts of booklets and pamphlets that came out explaining what to do on Erev Pesach Shechal Liyaz B'Shabbos. The whole thing is so shrouded in mystery. According to Yerushalmi and the Tosefta, if it's all taking place on Erev Pesach, that means there wasn't even any time to tell the Jewish people. You know what? The Jewish people, Amcha, knew that to bring the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach that occurs on Shabbos. There's a lot of other mysteries over here. How is a halacha of this sort forgotten by B'nai B'teira? Nit Alma disappeared. They didn't know a halacha of such magnitude. As I pointed out, there are only two mitzvot I say in the Torah. If one does not fulfill them, that there is chorus. They didn't know. More than that, they could have checked with Torah tidbits and they would have found out that Erev Pesach occurs on Shabbos every certain number of years. Sometimes there may be no more than 3 or 4 years between one Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos and another. There are also, I guess, there may be times that it'll take 10 years. But Gedolei Yisrael don't know a halacha of this sort, and people forget everything, so we review the halachas, but we know about Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. More, we just learn Parsha Shmini. We learn Parsha Shmini this past Shabbos. Vayehi, Vayom HaShmini, and it came to pass on the eighth day. Rashi over there says that was the day of the dedication of the Mishkan. And Rashi says that day took 10 crowns. What were the 10 crowns? So we only need to know 2 of them. That day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The dedication of the Mishkan took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Of course, that's the story, the death of Nadav Avihu at the time of the dedication. And that day was Rishon Lamasei Bereishis. That day was the first day of the week. It was Sunday. What happens if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Sunday? Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos. The first Pesach that was ever celebrated outside of Mitzrayim took place on Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. The whole Parshas Balotcha, that talks about the Korban Pesach, it's all talking about Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. That's what the story was. How could somebody not know, starting from the very first Korban Pesach that Klal Yisrael brought when they came out of Egypt, that took place on an Erev Pesach, Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. I have a few more questions. Rashi, I underlined the Rashi. Rashi says, Halacha Zu, this Halacha, She Pesach Docha Shabbos, that Pesach is Docha Shabbos, B'nei B'teira, forgot the halacha. B'nei B'teira, Nisiyim Hayu, they were presidents. What do you mean they were Nisiyim? What does that mean? What do you mean they were Nisiyim? There's only one Nasi at a time. Does it mean there are 3 B'nei B'teira at a time. All presidents?
You can't have, you know. It's true, every Jew considers himself a president, but when we're talking about the Sanhedrin, you know, there's only one president who stands at the head of the Sanhedrin. Another question that bothers me. Let's say the B'nai B'teira, yes, were the presidents of the Sanhedrin. Why don't we ask the rest of the Sanhedrin? Who forgot about it? B'nai B'teira forgot about it. Wait a minute. There are another 60, 70 members of the Sanhedrin? Where are they? Why don't we ask the rest of the Sanhedrin? If, as it would seem from the Gemara, all of this happened so that Hillel should rise to greatness and Hillel should become the president of the Sanhedrin, why did it have to be about this halacha? It could have happened on any day during the week about any other halacha, that a question came before the Sanhedrin and the Sanhedrin didn't know. And they said, is there anybody who knows the halacha over here? And somebody would pipe up and say, yes, Adam Echad, there is a person who came on Aliyah from Babel, and his name is Hillel, he will know. It seems that, from the Gemara, it would seem that the rise of Hillel to greatness was on the back of this halacha. This halacha. Erev Pesach Shechal Lihiyot B'Shabbat. There's, of course, been a tremendous amount that's been written about this Gemara over the ages, and there are all sorts of halachic approaches why they forgot and what was it that they forgot. Many Rachronim want to say it wasn't that they forgot whether you can bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. They knew you can bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, but there were certain details of the Korban. Do you do this? Do you do that? Do you do the next thing? I want to take
I want to take a completely different approach. And I must say, the different approach is based really in history. This is a Gemara that if we truly want to understand the Gemara, we have to know when it's taking place. We have to know what's happening by Klal Yisrael. When is it? What's doing? What's going on in the streets of Yerushalayim? What's going on all over Eretz Yisrael? What's going on in Asia Minor? What's happening? This is an approach that's taken by Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, who wrote a 6-7 svarim, Dorot HaRishonim, a history of the Jewish people. It's a unique history of the Jewish people, because there are so many areas where he disagrees with the so-called great historians, Gretz and Krochmel and Weiss and Frankel and others, who he felt simply didn't have a clue, didn't understand Jewish history, and they didn't have it. They also took very often approaches that were negative because of their own negative view of Yahadut, and certainly their negative view of religious Jewry. And Hillel, of course, stood at the pinnacle of Sanhedrin, the Perushim. So I'm going to say it in my own way, and I've added a great deal to what he says, and I believe I may even be getting very, very close to the truth. There is a Talmud Yerushalmi that says the following, and I think the Yerushalmi is the key to unlock the mystery of this Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yovin, this is a Talmud Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yovin said, V'haloi efshel shnei shavuot shelo yachol arvaz v'shabbos. It's not possible for a period of 14 years to pass. Maximum, they say. You can't have 14 years pass that you don't have Erev Pesach shechal liyot v'shabbat. V'loma nel mahalacha bihen. Why was the halacha forgotten or concealed from them? Concealed is a better translation. And the Yerushalmi answers, "Kedei liten gedula lehillel," in order to give greatness to Hillel. Omer Rabbi Mana said, "Ano shamit min Rabbi Yudin." I heard from Rabbi Yudin and from all of the rabbis. Mipnei man no agin. Why down Bezdin over here on this world do we conduct ourselves and give honor to people? You have to honor those who stand at the pinnacle and at the peak so that there should not be machloket by Yisrael. There are three people who set aside their crowns in this world. And by setting aside their crowns in this world, they inherited the world to come. And who are they? Yonatan ben Shaul, Yonatan the son of Shaul. They bring also a story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who had been appointed the president of the Sanhedrin, then relinquished it to Rabbi Gamliel. And Ziknei Beteda, the elders of Beteda. The Shodin Garma min Nashuta Manuna Nasi. They removed the presidency from themselves and gave it to Hillel. It means like this. The Yerushalmi is saying, this was not simply a matter of forgetting. This was orchestrated, what took place, that Erev Pesach, Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. This was orchestrated min HaShamayim. Min HaShamayim, from heaven. The Bnei Beseder forgot what the halacha was. By the way, the Gemara's terminology there is perfect. Nit'alma mimenu halacha. You should know we had it in a Rashi in this past week's Sedrin Shmini, and we have it a number of times in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, about Moshe Rabbeinu, nit'alma mimenu halacha. A halacha was forgotten from him. In Parshat Shmini, it says that on that first day, Aaron had the korban chatos burned and he didn't eat it, and Moshe wanted to know what happened to the korban chatos. So Aaron told him, we burned it. So he says, what do you mean you burned it? What are you talking about? You're supposed to eat the korban chatos. So Aaron tells him, I'm an onen today. Today is a Yom Avelis. I lost my two sons today. You think God wants me to eat from a korban today? Vayishma Moshe heard Vayitam Be'enav. And it was good in his eyes. And the Mefarshim say, Nit'alma Mimeno Halacha. The halacha was forgotten, concealed from him, not forgotten. And I'll tell you right away, for example, the Gemara also says when they brought the Mekoshesh, the fellow who went out to gather sticks on Shabbos, he didn't know the halacha. The daughters of Tzlofchad come and ask, we want a... So you can never say that Moshe forgot. The moment, God forbid, you say that Moshe forgot, all of Torah is brought into question. Then who knows, maybe there are other things that he forgot. Maybe he made a mistake about not halacha. We can never, ever accept the idea that Moshe could have forgotten halacha. The only thing we can accept is that God concealed it, and in each case there's a reason. God wanted that the halacha of a share in Eretz Yisrael should come to the Jewish people through the daughters of Tzlofchad. They, in a sense, should be the authors of this halacha, because of their great schos. The term Nit'alma means min hashamayim. Moshe nu kol haTorah kula. But for a particular reason, Moshe forgot the halacha, and it was revealed in another way. When it says over here that b'nei v'teira nit'alma mimena halacha, the moment it says it was concealed from them, we know that heaven is working over here. And heaven wants Hillel to become Nasi now. So number one, what it means is the rise of Hillel to greatness. And number two, you know what else it means? That b'nei v'seira, for this great act that they were eminently capable of, they're going to be honored and remembered by Claudius Solidari Doros. Let it never be said that there wasn't a Jew, there was never a Jew who wouldn't give up his seat in government. There is such a thing. In order to truly understand the whole Gemara, what we have to know is the history of the time. The king of the Jewish people was Herod, Hordus. We are talking about a period in history where the kingdom of the Chashmonaim has come to a tragic end. The last two members of the house of Chashmonaim were two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Civil war breaks out. Can you imagine? Civil war breaks out between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Hyrcanus, in order to strengthen his position, calls upon friends in Rome. Rome becomes involved in the struggle inside of Eretz Israel. What's going to take place now, and I'll tell you, over the last 2-3 weeks, I've read over the period of Hyrcanus, Aristobulus, and Hordus, and I tell you, I am more confused now than I ever was. And I'll tell you for one simple reason. Anybody who was in leadership was either beheaded, executed some other way, poisoned. They were killing one another. It was unbelievable. It staggers the imagination. The killer of all, the greatest killer of them all, was Hordus. Hordus was a maniac. Hordus was a madman. Hordus was half Idumean, who had, by virtue of the fact that his father was Antipater. Antipater was the one who became the assistant to Hyrcanus, when we had Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. And they wormed their way into government, and he was a cutthroat. thousands upon thousands of Jews were killed by Hordus. Hordus was also a genius in construction. What Hordus built, nobody ever built. But you should know this is a mistake that's made by a lot of people. The situation in Eretz Yisrael at the time is there were many non-Jews. Now, if you begin to hear, if you begin to detect certain vague similarities, don't pay attention to it. There were cities, complete cities in Eretz Yisrael, that were either completely non-Jewish or a majority of them were non-Jewish. All of the construction of Hordus was done in the non-Jewish cities. The Jewish people he taxed to the bone. It was a period of such terrible suffering for the Jewish people. And there was no leadership. He had executed half of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin ceased to exist. What were the Nevi'im? Sanhedrin had many functions. Its major function, of course, was to paskin halachos that Klal Yisrael didn't know. They were brought before the Sanhedrin. But there were a lot of other functions that one could say of an administrative nature that were taken care of by Sanhedrin. For example, Be'echad V'Adar on the first day of Adar, Sanhedrin announced that everybody should bring their half shekel to the Beit HaMikdash. They began a collection throughout all of Eretz Yisrael for the half shekel. Bezdin announced on the first day of Adar that everybody has to check their fields, that there isn't klayim, that mixtures of grains and vines were not growing near one another. Sanhedrin had to have a major bureaucracy of people that would go through all of Eretz Yisrael and take care of these things. They had to repair the roads across all of Eretz Yisrael. That was also a function of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin were the ones who were the safekeepers, the ones who guarded over money that were left in wills, money that belonged to orphans who were underage. I mean, they had all... It was an awesome bureaucracy that went well beyond paskening halacha. When Hordus destroyed the Sanhedrin, he destroyed that aspect of the Sanhedrin, which was the Sanhedrin that were the fathers of the Kabbalah. Moshe Kibbel Torah Sinai, Mesorah Yeshua, Yeshua Zekanim, Zekanim and Nevi'im. They gave it over to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And there in that first chapter of Pirkei Avos, you have how it goes to the Zugos. There was Yosef ben Yoezer, Shveda, Yosef ben Yochanan, Yerushalayim, Shmai and Avtayim, Shivim ben Shatach. And it goes over from generation to generation. There, the Sanhedrin stands as those who carry the Kabbalah of Torah Shebaal Peh, goes over from generation to generation. What happened with Hordus? Hordus shattered that aspect of the Sanhedrin. And all the time, as we are talking, as Hillel and the Bnei Beseder are talking about the halachas of Erev Pesach Shechal Lios B'Shabbos, there's war going on in Eretz Yisrael, and the war is something that involves Jew against Jew, Roman against Jew, Hordus against his own people. I tell you, I became so confused. There were so many Aristobuluses that got killed, and so many Antigonuses. In middle of a siege of Yerushalayim, you understand, Hordus has laid siege to his own city of Yerushalayim to get rid of enemies in the city. He takes off a week and goes to Syria to marry Miriam. Who's Miriam? Miriam is most probably one of the last members of the family of the Hashmonaim. Now, you want to get confused? her mother's name was Alexandra, and her father's name was Alexander. Alexander and Alexandra, who are pushed with, we're talking about the end of the line of the Chashmonaim. They have a daughter, Miriam. The Gemara even describes it in other places. Hordus' love for Miriam was to the point of absolute madness. He loved this woman. And then somebody came along and tried to tell him that she was having an affair with somebody. He executed her. He put her to death. He put his mother-in-law to death. He put his father-in-law to death. He killed his two children from Miriam. After the death of Miriam that he himself ordered, he went through a period of absolute craziness. He was drunk for who knows how long. The man was an absolute killer, his hands dripping with blood. I can't describe how terrible he was. But then on the other hand, he was also the one who built Caesarea. But do you know why he built Caesarea? He built it as a Roman and Greek city. And you know what he wanted to do at one point? He wanted to move the capital from Yerushalayim to Caesarea. And of all the strange things, Ptolemy of Rome stood in the way. And therefore I understand the Gemara that says that there's a struggle between Caesarea and Yerushalayim. If one is ascendant, the other is not. And when the other is ascendant, the other is not. Caesarea and Yerushalayim represented the struggle that was taking place in Eretz Yisrael, not only for the neshama of Klal Yisrael, but for the bodies of Klal Yisrael. Here, even want to go through a simple history book, a history of the Jewish people by Marx on Margolis. Herod was in reality king of the Jews rather than a Jewish king. All of the historians make this comment in one way or another. He tolerated the Koshi with difficulty. He tolerated Jews. His heart and his neshama was Roman and Greek. And he put all of his energies in to support, to build, to beautify Greek and Roman architecture throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. He took over the Kahuna Gadola, when the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol were appointed and unappointed. It was Hordus who kept changing whenever he decided at his whim. One Kohen Gadol, he didn't like him, got rid of him. He was a destructive force in the neshama and the body politic of Klal Yisrael. There's one story that will be that will become interesting. At one point, a brother of his wife Aristobulus was elevated to be the Kohen Gadol in his place. When Hordus saw the great covet that was being given to this Chashmonoi, Herod repented of his impudence, and shortly thereafter he invited the Kohen Gadol to a feast at Jericho, during which the king's servants, who were bathing with Aristobulus, held his head under water until he drowned. Huh?
He was the one who built the
fact that at the end of his days he built the Beit HaMikdash and he built the Ma'ara does not change the fact that the man was one of the worst cutthroats and killers in Jewish history.
But that was after.
That was at the end.
That
There are some who even want to say that he was doing tshuva by that, because he did nothing his whole life for Klal Yisrael, except, yes, the Gemara says, Mishalo Ra, whoever didn't see Binyan Hurdos, the Binyan of Hurdos, the Binyan Bet HaMikdash of Hurdos, Lo Ra Binyan Miyamah. He was a genius. He was a cutthroat, a killer, his whole life. He was destructive of all of Klal Yisrael. He brought down the Beit Hashmonai. He brought Roman legions into Eretz Yisrael. He set the stage for the Churban that was going to come. In his days, it was already clear that there's going to be a Churban HaBayit. That's what, that was Hurdos, that's the fact.
What's the importance of the Churban HaBayit? The Churban HaBayit came because Am Yisrael didn't do what they were supposed to do.
All of Jewish history operates on two levels. It operates on the level of Shemayim and Oretz. The Rambam says, you know why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Because we were involved in internal machlokas and we didn't teach our children how to fight. That's what the Beis Rambam. The Rambam says, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because we invited the Romans in. So the Rambam and the Rambam don't hold that it has to do with the fact that Klal Yisrael did Averis. But everything operates on two levels. There's the Ba'aretz level and there's Min HaShemayim level. You know what they needed? You know what Klal Yisrael needed? They needed a Hillel. And Shemayim had decided that in order that Klal Yisrael ought to survive the difficult period that had begun with Hurdos, they needed Hillel. And therefore Min HaShemayim Hillel is brought to become the head of the Sanhedrin. What is it about Hillel? Hillel was fearless. Josephus says that twice during his reign, Hurdos demanded that all of Klal Yisrael pledge allegiance to him. Two people refused: Hillel, Shammai, and all of their students. And he didn't lay a hand on them. The only two people and their students whom Hurdos didn't lay a hand on were Hillel and Shammai. There must have been something about the two of them that presented him with a picture of two fearless people. Hillel. There is a mission in Pirkei Avos. Afhu, he once saw a skull that was floating upon the waters. And he said, Al da'afeich, because you drowned others, that's why you were drowned. And the end is going to be that the ones who drowned you are going to be drowned themselves. The Mephoshim don't know what to do with this mission of Hillel. They don't know what to do with the mission. Because it means that every victim of a murder had to have been a murderer. Because you drowned others, that's why you were drowned. So all of them is Cain and Hevel. Hevel wasn't the murderer and he was killed. You know how I learned the Mishnah? And how we will learn many of the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos of Hillel. They were his comments, his political comments. They were the rallying cry of Klal Yisrael. He's talking about the drowning in Yericho of Aristobulus. Ultimately, there will be punishment for those who committed that terrible crime. He's also the one who says, "B'makom she'ein ish, b'makom she'ein anoshim, where there are no men, hishtadel liyodish." Somebody has to stand up and lead Klal Yisrael. "B'mein anili, mili." If I'm only going to worry about myself and I'm not going to worry about Klal Yisrael, Mommy, what am I? What are we going to wait for? Klal Yisrael needs to pick itself up now. When? And then there's the Mishnah. You have it on the other side of your sheet. The last one, down at the bottom. He used to say, Marbe Bosa, Marbe Rima, Marbe Nechasa, Marbe Daga. You know what he's giving a description of over here?
He's giving a description of the corruption of Malchus, the terrible corruption of the house of Hordus. Mar b'basa, mar b'lima, mar b'nechasim, all these possessions, mar b'daiga, worry. Hordus was worried all the time. He was lavishly wealthy. He always needed more. Mar b'nashim, mar b'kshafim. Why did he have problems with Noshim? Did he have problems with Noshim? Mar b'shvachos, mar b'zima, mar b'avodim, mar b'gezel. But then on the other side, you know what is Hillel's plan for the Jewish people? Mar b'torah, mar b'chayim. A Klal that is not led by Torah is death. Mar b'torah, mar b'chayim. Mar b'yeshiva, mar b'chochma, mar b'eitza, mar b'tfuna, mar b'tzedakim, mar b'shalom. He was the great man of peace, but at no price, he would pay no price, Hillel. What's the first mishnah of Hillel? Hillel v'shamra kibbu behem hillelam ha'veni tamidah shal aron oeg shalom v'rodeg shalom. He's talking about a period of time when the family of Aaron was involved in all sorts of terrible, terrible things. The Kohanim Gedolim themselves were part of of the criminality of Klal Yisrael. And he says, here's a man who gets up and says what has to be said to Klal Yisrael. His Mishnayos over here are what were his rallying cry to Klal Yisrael. These weren't just nice aphorisms. And by the way, there are more listed from Hillel than any other Tanna. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Mishnayot of Hillel. And the 7 Mishnayot contain, I didn't add them all up, 13, 14 different great statements. Hillel became the leader of the Jewish people at a moment of terrible crisis. But there's so much more to Hillel. I'm just starting with Hillel. Most probably the greatest act of Hillel was, nobody in his right mind would have come on Aliyah from Babel when he came. In Babel there was peace, there was tranquility. You had to be a Meshuggener or a Hillel to come on Aliyah while in Eretz Yisrael, literally there's blood flowing the streets. Ish Echad, Olami Babel, V'Hillel HaBavli Shemho. I wouldn't be a bit surprised they called him Hillel HaBavli, because there weren't too many Babylonian Olim coming in those days. He may have been the only Babylonian Olim who came. What's important about Hillel is even more. But even more, what Hillel is doing, Hillel is establishing the mindset of religious Klal Yisrael at a time of crisis. You have to know how to keep your head screwed on straight at moments of crisis. I read in the papers the last few weeks, even this morning in Haaretz, about the terrible crisis that the Dati Lu'umi world is going through. If God forbid the Hitnat Kut goes through, there are those who are going to be mitnatate from the Medina, from the Memshala. They're not going to say Halal on Yom Atzma'ut. They're going to burn Israeli flags in the streets with the tires. Shomu Shamayim al Zos, what absolute stupidity. I haven't heard anything like this. You know what Hillel would have said? And I'll tell you how I put it. Who defines my Yiddishkeit? You know what he's telling them? Who defines your Yiddishkeit? Hordus defines your Yiddishkeit? Because there's a prime minister and a government that wants to remove Jews from homes and earth, so that defines what Tzionut is? Or the Dati Lumi community believes in? We can lose some battles. Okay, we can lose some battles. But am I defined by them? Are we defined because in this country, most probably the majority of Jews are Mechalei Shabbos? Does that therefore define them? Well, we should be Mechalei Shabbos. People can make tragic mistakes. But their tragic mistakes doesn't mean that anything has changed as far as I'm concerned. Is there the greatest ingathering of Jews in all of history here in Eretz Yisrael today? Yeah, that hasn't changed at all. Is this country a country that is blossoming and growing in a way that it didn't through 2,000 years of Gola? Of course it is. So there are Jews who are making tragic mistakes, and they're going to find out soon how tragic their mistakes are. Does that define me? And what do you think Hallel is? Do you think Hallel is a bowl of cherries? Right in Hallel, right after you say Zeh Hayom Osa Hashem, this is the day that God has wrought. Nogila v'nismich avot. You know, we say, Ono Hashem Hashiyono. Ono Hashem Hatzlichono. Min ha-meitzar karosika. I call unto God from my difficult straits. What do you think? Hallel is just ra ra ra, but say, Yisrael ani Mitzrayim. It's all fun and games. Life is not all fun and games. There are challenges. There are mistakes, terrible, terrible mistakes that people make, and we're part of that struggle. So we're going to say, oh, things aren't going our way right now, so then we will simply remove ourselves from Klal Yisrael. Not Hillel. Hillel comes along with a message of hope to Klal Yisrael. That was his greatness. It was his genius. It was the courage of his personality. We had asked a whole bunch of questions. B'nei B'seiro were Nesiyim because they were functioning not as Sanhedrin. There was no Sanhedrin at the time. There was no Sanhedrin at the time. I had asked, why is it this halacha that raises Hillel to greatness? Because do you know what the halacha of Korban Pesach, Dolcha Shabbos, mean that Korban Pesach sets aside Shabbos? What's the significance of Korban Pesach? The significance of Korban Pesach, number one, is that we shattered all the idols of the world. That we are enslaved to no one except the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim v'lo avadim la'avadim. Freedom. The ability to stand up for ourselves, to be strong. What are the two mitzvot asay for which there is a punishment of chorus if one doesn't perform them? Mila and Korban Pesach. Mila, the pshat is, that's the identity of Klal Yisrael. That's Docha Shabbos. Jewish identity is Docha Shabbos. Korban Pesach is the whole philosophy of Jewish life, starting from Yitzchak Mitzrayim and further. That's what it's all about. That's Docha Shabbos. Then, the most mysterious one of all, in the Haggadah, something unusual that we find at no other time. Zeche lemigdash kehillel. After we ate the matzah, and after we eat the marah, we make the sandwich. Zeche lemigdash kehillel. The halach is not like Hillel, but every Jew makes a zeche to what Hillel did at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. What did Hillel do? I remember my house. My father, Allah Hashem, came to Zechel and Migdash Gehillel. I tell you, he began to cry. I never understood. Zechel and Migdash Gehillel came. I'll say Hillel, Hillel, Hillel. All my kids know exactly how to say that part of our God. Hillel, Hillel, Hillel. Came, I'll say Hillel. This is what Hillel did. You know what Hillel did? And this was ultimately his great message, and that's why he's in the Haggadah. He ate Pesach, Matzah, and Maror together. Pesach represents freedom. Maror represents bitterness. Matzah can be either freedom or slavery. Matzah is representative of that which we ate while we were enslaved. And matzah is also that which we ate as we came out of Mitzrayim with the dough on our shoulders. You know what? Do you know what Hillel is saying to Klal Yisrael? You should know even at the moment of Pesach there can be periods of maror. You think that Pesach is just going to be a bowl of cherries throughout life? There can be moments of Pesach, and the moments of Pesach are going to be accompanied by Maror. And because there's Moror over there, doesn't mean that it diminishes anything from the greatness of the Pesach. And you know what? You all see matzah with it. There are periods of time where you may not even be able to distinguish, is this good or is this bad? Is it Pesach or is it Moror? So you have to know that they all go together. Ad bias goel tzedek. Until the time that there will be a Redeemer, we're going to have to live through periods of Moror. And you know what Hillel is telling them? You can do it! Because there's a period of Moror going through, so I take all my hashkafas that are based on Chazal, that are based on Pesuk Midrash, we dump it, we jettison it, no, it was wrong, because somebody's doing something that he shouldn't do, and in just a few years down the line, he'll know what a terrible mistake it was. Therefore, our hashkafas are called in question. That was the message that Hillel was saying to the Jewish people. He had the power to move them. They needed him. Can you imagine what kind of an example he set? The fact that he came on Aliyah at that most difficult period in all of Jewish history, Bizman Bayit Sheni, and they kept calling him throughout that Babylonian. And do you know what it means for the for B'nai B'Seder? Not only do B'nai B'Seder give up their Nesius to somebody else, to a Naya Gekimina, to a foreigner, speaks Hebrew with an American, a Babylonian accent, you understand. That's who they give it over to. They recognize that Hillel HaDavli is Hillel HaDavli. Hillel became the great leader of a Klal Yisrael. He raised Klal Yisrael. May Ashbos Yodim. That's why our thank you to Hillel is Zeichel Migdash Hillel. He comes to the greatness through that halacha, that Korban Pesach is Docha Shabbos. There's a Jewish hashkafa, there is Torah, all that's represented in Korban Pesach is so significant that it's Docha Shabbos. This is not a simple Gemara. This is a mystifying, a Gemara that's shrouded in mystery. And the mystery is the greatness of Erev Pesach Shechal Yel's Bishamas. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you very much. I hope you have a number of opportunities to do that.